Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 155 of Wait All About It, or what I'm calling Leadership and Learning the Ag Forestry Way. Ag Forestry is shorthand for the Washington Agriculture and Forestry Education Foundation, which was incorporated in 1977. In the interest of full disclosure, I was a member of Class 13, and my boss, Glenn Squires, the CEO of the Washington Grain Commission, also graduated from the program. I don't know how many of the more than 1,000 individuals who have graduated from Ag Forestry over the last 40 years can say the program changed their life, but I figure there's probably more than me. In 1991, when I began my two-year stint in the program, I was a balding, ponytailed reporter for the Capital Press, unlike any agricultural reporter that had covered the beat before. Some considered me aggressive, others that I lacked finesse. More than one individual asked me what the A in my Scott A. Yates byline stood for, and then suggested an alternative. Although I didn't grow up in agriculture, I was a journalist and I covered agriculture like any assignment, from the outside in. I asked tough questions, not because I thought they were tough, but because I didn't know the answers. But I got a tough reputation anyway. It was while covering the financial equivalent of a train wreck at Northwest Farm Credit Services in the late 1980s that I first became aware of the Ag Forestry Program. A Montana farm girl, Linda Hendrickson, was director of communications at the bank. After one of my sparring matches with the new leaders brought in to write the foundering institution, she suggested I might want to look into this Ag Forestry program. There were 30 of us in Class 13. It was an eclectic group with farmers, lawyers, environmentalists, government bureaucrats, and one reporter. All of us became acquaintances, but I became friends with Scott Cocking, a hog farmer from Farmington, Washington, and Ron Bauman, a wheat farmer from Washtenaw. An argument could be made that it was my friendship with Scott and Ron that changed my life, but if there hadn't been an Ag Forestry, I would have never had the opportunity to forge those friendships. Which, when you think about it, is part of the problem with America today. There's too little opportunity for people with opposing viewpoints to meet. Although the Ag Forestry experience didn't alter my worldview or the politics I identify with, it tempered my perspective with on-the-ground realities of living a resource-based life. I learned that rules and regulations were more than words on a piece of paper and that partnering with Mother Nature is fraught with perils non-farmers can't begin to appreciate. So you could say I'm biased when it comes to Ag Forestry. I count the leadership program among the important influences in my life, giving me an appreciation for our natural resources through the eyes of two men helping to feed the world. Recently, Ag Forestry, the program, went through two significant changes. A new executive director was hired, and the organization moved into the bottom floor offices of the Washington Grain Commission building on Sunset Boulevard west of Spokane. I'm grateful an organization which I hold in high esteem is sharing the building with us. I'm likewise thrilled that Matt Close was chosen to lead Ag Forestry as it enters the 2020s. Close is no stranger to the organization. He went through the program and served as program director before the board hired him as executive director in October, following the resignation of the previous executive. Hiring an individual who has been through the program was wise. There's an enthusiasm for the organization, you might hear some of it in this introduction, that's shared among those who have participated. Like myself, Close came into agriculture from the outside. He grew up in San Jose knowing more about how computer chips were made than potato chips. His introduction to rural Washington was through a WSU initiative investigating a telehealth network in rural areas. He subsequently spent a decade at Northwest Farm Credit Services, working across an array of agriculture commodities. It was there that he was introduced to ag forestry. I made the journey from my second floor office at the Washington Grain Commission down two flights of stairs to meet Close in his new office. Only recently moved in, the space was still a work in progress, with pictures not yet hung and boxes on the floor. Close is one of those rare people I feel can pull off the shaved head, full beard look. Originally associated with bikers or menacing cowboys, his earnestness transforms the cliché. I don't know him well, but I know he's a nice guy. We started our conversation with me asking the question all ag forestry alumni ask each other. What class were you in?
I was in ag forestry class 36, and I won't say it was the best class ever, but it might be. But it might be.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Matt, but class 13 holds that distinction.
Understood, Scott.
Okay, how did your participation in ag forestry change your life?
Scott, ag forestry changed how I look at the world, and I think that's really truly the benefit of ag forestry is that you get both sides of natural resource issues, and then you also get the edge of the coin, and you really start to think differently about natural resources and how to engage in those issues. And so it's not a I'm right, you're wrong proposition, but it's a we disagree around these points and we agree around these points. How can we work together to further solutions to these issues? Also, ag forestry participants gain a lot of confidence in their own abilities and they're able to bring that back to their organizations. But more, Scott, we also expect that companies wouldn't send people through ag forestry if they weren't coming back and making a bigger difference in their organizations. But we also expect that people will plug in and make a difference in their industries and outside of their organizations and their communities and provide leadership that's much needed around organizations that aren't just their business.
Now, you're talking about organizations and companies. I don't necessarily think of farmers in that regard. What about the farmer influence?
I think it's fair to say that our elected officials would rather hear from a farmer than from their lobbyist. And we really equip people to go and have those conversations with elected officials and others to tell their story and to help advocate for changes that will help not only their individual operation, but also their industry.
In a nutshell, describe the ag forestry experience.
So the ag forestry experience, Scott, is really designed to, as I mentioned, give people confidence in their abilities, the ability to tell their story and that of their organization, that of their farm, and to reach out and engage others in collaborative efforts, giving them the tools that help people follow them when they know that there's something that they need to accomplish.
Do you feel that that reflects most ag forestry participants?
The ag forestry journey is deeply personal, and you have the opportunity to focus on areas where you feel like you may need some development. But yeah, overall, I would say that getting the tools to make a difference and to tell your story is ubiquitous to the overall experience.
For those who might be listening now who don't know much about ag forestry, who are you targeting for participation in the program?
So first and foremost, looking for producers in agriculture and forestry, but also a well-rounded and diverse group that will include people that regulate those businesses, for instance. So we're talking about folks from the Washington Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Agriculture. We're also looking for those industries who support agricultural and forestry producers, so folks from the lending space like Northwest Farm Credit Services. The idea is to get a group of diverse individuals together, and they're diverse not only in their job function and their geography across Washington State, but also in their political ideologies. And it's almost it is a test bed for how collaboration can work. Well, I think what you find as you go through agroforestry is that even smart people can disagree. How do we look past those disagreements and focus on the issues and the interests of each of the people involved and the organizations involved and work together to solve issues that are facing natural resources and our society?
Now, agriculture has consolidated tremendously since agroforestry was established in 1977. Farms are much bigger. How difficult is it to find farmers to participate in the program?
Scott, it's certainly getting more difficult. You know, farmers are being asked to do more with less. They're taking on significantly more risk as their land bases increase, as the cost of their equipment increases, as they start to invest in precision agriculture. Yeah, it's getting harder to ask people to peel off for 58 days from their operation with maybe nobody to delegate to and ask them to invest their time in leadership. And that's something that we're looking at, Scott, is how do we make this program workable for the needs of today and the producers of today? And we're going to really focus on having conversations with our stakeholders, both individual producers, commodity organizations, as well as many of the large businesses that support agroforestry and send people through, also the government agencies who do the same, and understand how is agroforestry meeting your needs today? What could we do better? And then looking ahead 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and even 40 years from now, what do you think you're going to need for leadership development in your organizations? What are the kinds of skills? What are the kinds of attitudes that are needed? And how can agroforestry help support that?
Participants in the program actually have to pay to participate. What is the tab for a participant, and how much does the program pick up?
So it costs about $6,000 for 2 years, for the 18 months of the program. And there are also some individual costs, such as transportation to and from the seminar, a few meals and things like that. But participants pay $6,000 for the entire experience. And that represents about one-third of the actual cost of the program. So we are very grateful to our sponsors and donors for essentially subsidizing that and making sure that people can afford to participate and then assuring that we still have a program that is excellent.
Now, it's one thing for companies and the representatives of companies to participate because their company pays for it. But for farmers, that's coming out of their pocket. Is there any scholarship for farmers?
Yeah, you know, the Washington Wheat Foundation just launched a scholarship for wheat producers, and that has It's been incredible, and I believe it will be an excellent tool as we go out and speak with producers and can help convince them of, one, the value of agroforestry, and, two, help them to justify that investment in themselves. And I think that it will also go a long way towards building goodwill with the organizations that do provide scholarships and probably a feeling of wanting to give back to that organization in addition to agroforestry going forward.
Speak a little bit more about the foundation scholarship. What is being contributed?
The producer still has skin in the game. They pay a $500 membership to agroforestry, and as well they cover the expenses, those soft expenses, including transportation and meals still. So they have the bulk of their participation paid for, but they also have skin in the game, which I think is important.
All right, all right. I was really pleased when your board chose a new executive director from the ranks of program participants. Do you think having been a member of agroforestry gives you any advantages now that you're at the helm?
Certainly, Scott. I know this program from the inside out. As an alumni, I've personally experienced and then also witnessed in my class members the level of change that occurs when people embrace the program, when they are ready to look at their blind spots, enhance their strengths, and go out and make a difference. So I have a lot of passion around this, and I can't help but think that will give me an advantage as I go out and speak with our partners and potential new partners.
The organization has evolved a lot since I went through ag forestry in class 13. The experience is more expensive for individuals, the classes are shorter and smaller, and there's many more of what I would call non-farmers in classes. Tell me about that evolution and why it has occurred.
Well, Scott, you talked about consolidation earlier, and I think that really is driving the idea that there are simply fewer producers who are available to go to the program, let alone those who are willing to do it. And so we remain committed to having a strong producer base in the program. So that's one aspect. Another, you mentioned that there are more folks from maybe agencies and things like that. And frankly, I don't view that as a bad thing. They really have the opportunity to interact with producers and understand their story, to see how agriculture and forestry occur as today, and to gain that on the boots on the ground perspective around how our natural resources are managed and building partnerships and trust that will carry us forward throughout the years, through the decades to come.
Do you think minds are changed about natural resources and the natural resource industry during a class?
Absolutely. There were comments from a recent forestry seminar, and that person said, "I really had no idea what excellent stewards of the land these forest products companies are. They're not putting profits above the land management. It's a part of the equation, certainly, but there was a lot of trust in the way that decisions were made, and they know it's not all about the dollars. It's about being sustainably operated and making sure that we have trees to harvest in the future."
What is Ag Forestry's budget?
Oh, gosh. Well, I can tell you that it costs about $400,000 to put on the program itself. And, of course, we have additional expenses besides that. But, you know, that's about the bare minimum that we need to maintain operations.
Now, is that $400,000 for everything, classes included?
That would include time for both the program director and the program manager, all of the seminars, and transportation to and from Washington, D.C. via air, also to the international destination.
Where did you go on your overseas trip?
We went to Vietnam and Cambodia, Scott, and it was an eye-opening experience.
And what did you learn?
What did we learn? Well, we looked at how do different countries manage their natural resources. We had the opportunity to experience a different culture, and in the case of Vietnam, a communist country, so a different country. And what really stuck with me, though, Scott, was the experiences that we had. So we visited several orphanages, and we got to speak with orphans in Vietnam, and we got to see roomfuls of babies who are deformed, and there's, you know, two people for every 20 babies, and, you know, these children have almost no one to care for them, and that was deeply moving. With respect to Cambodia, we really focused on the genocide that occurred under Pol Pot and his regime, and you could describe the Cambodian society almost as a society in post-traumatic stress disorder. And I think they're still trying to sort out what it is that occurred and how to deal with it. We went to the killing fields, and to this day, bones and teeth and old clothes rise up from the dirt, from the mass graves, and it's hallowed ground. There's a tree called the killing tree where men used to swing infants' skulls against and kill them. And to be in the place where that occurred, to recognize what kind of evil that people are capable of, it was a bit overwhelming, but really what it made us understand is that we have to be strong leaders, and we have to assure that things like that don't happen under our watch. We couldn't unsee the need for our leadership after that trip.
Back in my day, class 13, there was a lot of corporate contributions. Can you break down the percentage of where your money comes from? And I'm speaking of corporate, public, alumni, and other.
So I don't think that's changed a lot since your time in the program, Scott. From an overall dollars perspective, certainly corporate contributions are carrying the day. So that includes the Washington Wheat Foundation, Northwest Farm Credit Services, Dairy Gold. We also have partnerships with Washington Department of Natural Resources, as well as the Washington State Department of Agriculture. And we also have some individuals, so Linda North in Class 12 and Mark Wagner, Class 8, who are significant contributors to agroforestry. But so from an overall dollars perspective, typically speaking, it will be a corporation or an organization. And then from a sheer numbers perspective, that will be individuals, many of whom are alumni.
Is there a mechanism for alumni to remain a part of the organization in any meaningful way? I mean, I loved my experience, but you get 5 years beyond it and things kind of fall off the table.
Well, I mean, folks such as yourself, though, Scott, have given back in ways such as supporting the media seminar, where you've come and for many years interviewed class members and helped them to hone their skills of working with the media. So that's an immediate and very tangible way that people give back. Additionally, we have our alumni council. They help to plan alumni events. We most recently had a trip to Israel that occurred in January of last year. This year, we're going to have a trip that focuses on the 40th anniversary of Mount St. Helens. And then next year, there will be a trip to New England, and styled after agroforestry, ability to go see agricultural operations in action, forestry in action, hear from a leadership development program, a sister leadership program to agroforestry over there, and potentially there's an opportunity to sneak into Canada, and there is a senator there who is a former executive director of the Canadian program, and they have an opportunity to speak with him. I think it'll be a pretty special trip. Additionally, our board has rolled out a new committee structure, and so there will be more opportunities for people to plug in around events, around outreach, around sustainability, and then also reinvigorating our curriculum committee. And yes, there will be more and structured or opportunities to engage. But certainly, if folks are interested in volunteering, I would love for them to reach out to me, and we'll find you a way to give back.
How many alumni are there?
There are 1,075 if you count the two ongoing classes right now, about 1,035 without. So pretty incredible when you think about it. More than 1,000 people working daily to make a difference for the natural resources in Washington State.
Wonderful, wonderful. Of that number, what percentage continue to contribute to the program?
Not enough, Scott. Not enough. And that's an area that I'm focused on shoring up, is understanding, you know, why? Why aren't they giving? What can we do better? How can we better include them? And I mentioned better telling our story. I really believe that there needs to be more outreach to our stakeholders, and that definitely includes alumni, and finding out how we can regain their support if they've lapsed, or why they haven't ever given, and what we can do to help them want to do that.
What does success look like?
Well, success looks like us setting up for the next 40 years. That will include being able to fundraise, but it will also be positioning the program for the needs of tomorrow, and really understanding from the mouths of our stakeholders and the people who sponsor our programs, what do we need to do?
How involved is the board in agroforestry?
The board has been incredibly involved, particularly in this time of transition and my appointment to executive director. And I would like to recognize specifically our recently outgoing board chair, Michael Brockle. In my interim role, we checked in once a month. He was a part of a very robust hiring process that occurred for the executive director position, and the rest of the board is cut from the same cloth as Michael. And I truly believe people are invigorated around this organization and dedicated to making sure that it succeeds for another 40 years.
You heard Close reminiscing about his overseas trip. It was also a high point of my experience in China, although for different reasons. The day we were scheduled to go to the Great Wall was after dinner with the family of a Chinese friend of mine from Spokane. The high-octane rice liquor flowed, and I was hungover and sick when it was time to go. I told my group to leave me behind, but my friend Scott was having none of it. Putting the hotel room's trash can under one arm, in case I became sick on the bus, he pulled me from bed with the other as he asked, "How many times are you going to get to see the Great Wall of China?" As it turns out, just once. Scott got me on the bus, and by the time I walked on the amazing structure, I was perfectly fine. Later that year, in May 1992, I graduated from Ag Forestry with my 29 peers. It's doubtful anybody could tell the difference in my reporting before Ag Forestry and after Ag Forestry, but it was there. Where I had once covered agriculture from the outside in, I was now covering it from the inside out. It wasn't just that my conscience now featured two farming friends on either shoulder. I had a whole network of other Ag Forestry graduates, the best and the brightest of Washington, to call upon for answers and insight. I was a reporter at the Capitol Press for another 16 years after graduating from the program, and now I have been Director of Communications and Producer Relations at the Washington Grain Commission for an additional 11, producing this podcast for the last 3. But I doubt you'd be hearing my voice now were it not for Ag Forestry. Talking with Close reminded me of how important alumni contributions are to the organization. I have nothing but excuses to explain why my contribution has lapsed the last couple of years, but I made sure to donate after visiting with Close. I hope any Ag Forestry alumni listening now who might have fallen behind use the occasion of this podcast to reinvest themselves in what was a unique experience. I hope you have enjoyed episode 155, or what I entitled Leadership and Learning, the Ag Forestry Way. Please join me again next week for another episode of Weed All About It.
We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in good stead. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, a wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat, but there's only one dilemma when there's not enough wheat. We feed you.